you part of the story, but I just feel like the Lord wants to, well, it's been a strange month, right? We have now the dubious distinction, Ventura County, Santa Barbara, as having the largest wildfire in California's recorded history. So we eclipsed San Diego. We saw, just devastation beyond any of us in our. I grew up in Ventura. My mom's house had to be evacuated. I know every place that was hit. I think it was Cammie who said, I don't know where it, a lot of times you go into Christmas and sometimes you have a sense of what we're supposed to be all about. And you get a theme. Sometimes you try to find one just because you think a jingle would help get us focused. And we were really setting out to try to make, we would be Christmas. We would try to go and be Christmas to people. We wouldn't do all our normal fancy stuff, fun and festive. And we would try to, reach out and touch lives and be a part of people's lives, which obviously that's happened a lot. But I think it was Cammie said right about as the fires were just still really starting and going, that God was shifting and said to everybody, and he said so clearly, he said, I am Christmas, or Jesus is Christmas. And I don't know, that has just continued to resonate inside of me. Jesus is Christmas. I mean, Christmas is not a day, it's Jesus. And he continues to be the fulfillment of everything that was initiated on Christmas morning in the most largest of sense. And we are in a very kind of interesting place, like Joseph and Mary. We're carrying Christmas. We're carrying Christ. Among other things. I know the season, the holidays, the pressures, the clean the house, relatives, whatever's, movements, that can almost crowd out all that. But let's look at the first story, because I think there's going to be a bit of encouragement how we might find ourselves in the same setting where we can just have Christ find an expression today in this of all days. So it came to pass in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. And this census first took place while Quirinius was governing Syria. So all went to be registered, everyone to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed wife, who was with child. So it was that while they were there, the days were completed for her to be delivered, and she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Funny to think, if it was just to carry Jesus and I had all control of everything on the outside, I think I'd do a better job. But I never get that luxury, and any of us do. Can you imagine Joseph and Mary? First off, Joseph had to get over the idea that this wasn't his son, and yet this was a God thing, and he needed to embrace Mary and raise this boy and name him Jesus. And yet God wanted to make sure that all prophecies were being fulfilled. So far off in Rome, there's this emperor that just decides he needs to know a little more about how big, powerful, and wonderful he is, get a little more income, tax the people, whatever. So he sets out a decree, and it's nothing that could be done like it is today electronically, so you have to go back to your home, your place of birth. And so now Joseph's getting that news sometime in that 9 months picture that there's going to be a census, and you've got to go, and they're going to have to go to Bethlehem. And so from Nazareth to Bethlehem, that's like probably about like going from here to San Diego, and in somewhat of similar conditions. And I don't know, how would you think? Would you wonder, is the world taking over, messing up? That you already were settled, you're going to have a baby in Nazareth. And yet God, because he has prophecies and promises, he's now orchestrating circumstances and situations so he might control an outcome. So let's say the first thing today for us to embrace carrying Christ is let's declare or let's accept that where we are being forced to walk through is sovereign in God's bringing forth Christ. Eddie having to go to Arizona every week to work is sovereign in Christ, even though it's inconvenient to the rest of the family. Right? I mean, you could say, that's wrong, it's not ought to be, I got to get out of that. So here's the good news. I don't know how Joseph and Mary handled it. I love the humanity part of us because God really loves the humanity of us. So I don't try to clean everything up. I can imagine Mary and Joseph pressed and now arriving Nazareth. They could have got there. We see the story. It's, 9 o'clock at night or so, and they're just getting there and they're looking, and there was no Travelocity and there was no Expedia and there was no hotelbook.com, and they couldn't have planned ahead, and they're showing up in an sense of emergency. Mary's in contractions. She started early part of labor, maybe. Could have been 3-4 days earlier and seemed like everything was good. Now it's just the bad news. There's no place to be. But in any case, there they are in animal cave probably, because most of the places where you kept your animals were inside. If you go to Bethlehem today, you see it's a rocky, hilly country. And inside the rocky, hilly country, kind of like lava rock, there's a lot of natural caves. And if you go to Shepherd's Field, you'll see all of these caves that have been preserved and thought of as where the shepherds would have kept their flock. And go a little further to the Church of the Nativity, you'll see it again in a grotto, a little small place where the birth of Christ would have been. So they're in this pressure. They're sovereignly being squeezed into to prophetic fulfillment. I hope that Joseph and Mary had the freedom to just say, this is way out of our control. I'm just believing God is in control. It's out of my control, but I believe God's in control. This is not how I saw Christmas, but this is how God is going to orchestrate bringing Christ forward. So the thing that's really intrigued me personally, because I meditate Jesus and I worship him from the birth to death, burial, resurrection, ascension, to his high priestly intercession. And I connect to all of it. Tonight I want to do a little bit about Isaiah 53 in the midst of the service, because there's something of humanity that just, my humanity gets so released from its struggling point when I see how much he just submitted himself to the Father in love, and willingness became the sacrifice, and all that I'm going through seems to just kind of dissipate when I watch all that he went through. But here's what Mary brought forth the son, and they laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. So a little feeding trough for the animal. Now we're born again when we receive Jesus Christ, and we're laid in a mansion that God has prepared for us in his house. Now, that might sound like, that's way better than the manger. But they're both counterintuitive. To put God in a body, covertly bring him into the earth, so that he could fully become and fully be man, not carry any of his special powers. It was not a power, and he wasn't like any of the guys in the Marvel universe. He walked as a man in faith, relationally, and became awakened to truth of who he was prophetically, and lived in fellowship. And then the Holy Spirit came on him, and he began to do miracles, and he had power that was the Holy Spirit's anointing. So Jesus laid in a manger. We're born again, and we're laid in a mansion. We're laid in a place that isn't our home. We don't know how to live in a heavenly realm. We don't know how to relate to God as justified sons. Jesus had to learn how to relate to God as a sinless man in the midst of sinful man. He had to accept that he was virgin born, that he was immaculately conceived, that he was the son that was prophesied in Isaiah 7, that he was, that Father God was indeed his father. Now, it was not just a intellectual embrace. It was a revelatory experience. And in the revelation, the Holy Spirit was the one coming in and causing what he was receiving to become vivid and living color. Just like it is for you and me. You're carrying Christ. You know, go to John 1 real quick, Rachel. I love this version. John is our esoteric apostle. He's the one who kind of saw the Virgin, saw the Christmas story in an entire different fashion. He saw it in the movement of God entering into the planet. John chapter 1, verse 1. And he says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus carries this distinct creator position. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. Without him, nothing was made that was made. So the creator becomes the creation. He in him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend or literally overcome it. So he's just coming forth. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The man came for a witness, to bear witness of that light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. Every person born on this planet is given enough light of the Creator to know that there is a Creator and to have life. Because light, life, love, they are just, without it, we dissipate. We disappear, we die. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So the Creator becomes creation. How that had to be the hugest miracle. That miracle is the same as the creation becoming a new creation to come into the image of the Son of God and to enter into that same glory as the firstborn now carries, to come into the image of the firstborn. And he now is the first, but we're many following him and being conformed. That is a hard thing. I don't believe it's probably much different. It's just going in a different direction. God was working on Christmas and getting himself fully invested into the planet, fully placed inside of creation. The Creator became created. Phenomenal. Because now when he raises from the dead, you know this because it's all in the New Testament. He is no longer coming into the future by who he was in creation, but who he has become in resurrection as the firstborn. And now the entire future of Jesus, God, man, is an inheritance. So the Creator creates, becomes creation, is raised from the dead, a new creation, and receives the entire future through an inheritance given. Which is why we are in this kind of like, you know, quandary of how do you process all this? See, I think if we just worship Jesus at the moment of his birth, and then get to Easter and get him out of the grave, and then start over next year, we miss so much of what the intentionality of heaven was. It is as much of a miracle for me to be placed in a mansion as it was for God to be placed in a manger. And it is by faith and a journey into. So he came to his own, and his own did not receive him. So he was created the world didn't know him. Then he comes to his covenant people, and they didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. How many believe in his name? Wave at me on the internet. Okay. All right. That means we are the sons of God, right? Isn't that a comforting thought? Now, the fullness of that is yet to be seen. But in the season we have entered in this new season, we will begin to decree over one another the future that we see in each other. In other words, that's all. That's what blessing is. That's what prophecy is. That's what the recognition of Jesus Christ in one another coming forth into maturity. And this whole incredible miracle that's taken place for Christ to be in us, it wasn't because we were born. Who were born not of blood. In other words, it's not our parents that got us, because our parents were Christians, we're Christians. Nor of the will of the flesh. It wasn't because we worked hard at it. We grew up in a Christian home, so therefore we're Christians. Nor is it the will of man. It means it wasn't because somebody else that exercised influence over us is still exercising influence, so we're submitting to somebody else's wishes, or that we have, by our own effort, brought ourselves to something of equality with God, that we might be, you know, thought of as a son of God. No, it's all by God. God is the one who causes the birth. So just as Mary carried Jesus and brought Jesus forth, it was the Holy Spirit that brought the conception. It was God who orchestrated the entire world system at that juncture to bring Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, and then placed in a manger, and all these prophecies being fulfilled at that very moment, is doing the same with you and me. That's good news. Right now, today, Christmas is as God ordained it for you. Maybe not how you would have chosen it. I know some things I would have choose differently. There's things that become mine to do that I wouldn't, and there's things that I wish I could do that I don't. I'd like to have a white Christmas and be skiing tomorrow morning. But I'm not going to be unless it snows here. But that doesn't make Christmas less powerful if I understand and I connect to the point in which what something is happening. I am in a divine process of transformation. So the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. That's what's happening to you and I. The Word of God that we receive, that we believe, is becoming flesh. And we're dwelling among each other. And the surge of Holy Spirit activity in these last days and this next year is going to be huge to release the maturity of the sons of God on the planet. Sons and God, men and mature, walk carrying Christ, carrying atmosphere, carrying life, carrying a sense of understanding of the times. And not just an understanding, but a power to access and release heavenly blessing. To walk in kingdom dominion, but in the same manner, which is God always is creating, bringing himself into a place so that it's, you have to receive him or you don't. So he's never forcing upon anyone to believe, because he wants the believing to receive as the means to faith, and that's how righteousness is given. Only by believing that he raised Jesus from the dead can I be saved. That's the only one quite criteria, is that I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. And then he justifies me. Whoa. Which, I don't know about you, how are you doing on that? That's not the easiest truth to swallow. I am justified because God raised Jesus from the dead. I have no other justification. I have no other righteousness. I have no other accusation that can be leveled against me. Doesn't matter what I do, how I do, I am justified. Now, when you reconnect, you see, because if I am being set in a mansion, and that is my submission to my faith, just as Jesus was placed in a manger and came to lay down his life, I'm learning to live his life. I'm going to have to accept some of the truth that has been accomplished. Jesus Christ was delivered because of my offenses and was raised because of my justification. Had I not been justified in his death burial, he would not have been raised. Only way Jesus could be raised from the dead, because he had so fully identified with man, is that he so fully redeemed all mankind. Had he not on the cross said, "Father, forgive them," we wouldn't be forgiven. He held in the hand the power to forgive. And had he not forgiven us, he wouldn't have been raised from the dead. Because he would have just been stuck in the legal system that's worse than anything you'll ever experience on the planet. Thousands of years of mankind's rebellion, iniquity, sin, and he would have just been in that place. It was all going to be based on forgiveness, and it was all going to be based on him paying the fullness of the price, so there was no more price to be paid. If you each go out tonight or to this afternoon because you've been working so hard trying to do Christmas and you're just spent and you're tired, you're frustrated, and you go over to the donut shop and you buy 16 jelly donuts and you sit down and you eat them all in one sitting, will you be any less a Christian after you eat 16 donuts? No. You may not feel as good. Your body may not be like going, oh, I'm ready for prayer and meditation. More like a nap and, you know. That's basically what we're in now. We have consequences of every action, but actions do not define who we are. You've got, and that is a huge thing. If you're going to be set in a mansion, you have to begin to have an identity that is like a son of a king. I may mess up, but it doesn't change who I am. And when I mess up, doesn't change my relationship with God, because my relationship with God has always been by faith. Now, typically, as believers, we all get born again, and the sense of gratitude. I was 19 when I got saved, so my life was totally, had plenty of time to mess it up. And the fact that all of a sudden I came into faith, experience love, experience Jesus, the power of his Holy Spirit. All I had in my heart was gratitude. And all I had was the gratitude that I had been delivered from the destructive life I'd been in, and I wanted to live a new life for him. So I had the only way to live a new life for him would be to now have him as my goal and the intent of my heart. But what am I going to resource? I had the scripture. I began to read it and devour it, but I also would now apply my soul and my ability to try to do what the scripture said as the way to do what God said. I didn't know yet that I had to behold him and be transformed by his glory. I just thought now that I was born again, I could live up to the standard of Jesus. And I energized my flesh, my emotions, my strength. So before long, it took me 6 months to realize I was backsliding inside of a very vibrant ministry of my own testimony. My testimony becoming big and brilliant. But inside, my flesh and my soul is starting to say, wait a minute, we're not fully in delighting in all this. I'm having lots of conflicts, and God in his sovereignty moves me into another state, into the middle of the winter to begin with a few other guys and gal, a ministry that made me have to re-find God all of a sudden, because I was going to die. God has a way of doing that. When he knows that we might just kind of sideways, he kind of replaces us in another, I got to find God setting. And he would continue to do that over and over and over again. And God is faithful. Whenever you call upon him, you find him. Whenever you get lost and yelled, he's there to respond. But then there comes a time where God starts to say, okay, we're not going to lose you and you're not going to lose me. But how is this working for you? Do you still feel the love? Are you still in the wonder? Are you still amazed? Are you still delighted? And I had to learn, no, I'm kind of angry, bitter. I'm kind of frustrated. I'm tired of being holy because I know I'm not. But I'm so holy that I've made everybody around me awful. And so you start to look for to find Christ again. You start to find him in what he accomplished, and how far does that accomplishment take? So no longer am I in zeal through gratitude and fear that I must measure up to a standard and using willpower and flesh power to continue that journey. For some, it's, you know, it takes a few years. For me, it was 17 years of running as hard as I could till I started to dawn on me that this wasn't going to be a full-time, this wasn't going to work for a lifetime journey. But when we start accepting that Jesus is my justification, my Father has justified me through Jesus Christ. Then it started to take up loads of burdens of responsibilities that I had to, you know, monitor every day and open a huge door of discovery that I hadn't known I could have because I was still focused on staying saved or living up to the standard of being saved. Now, that being settled, and not that I ever wondered, well, am I going to be saved? But, you know, was I still saved? I wasn't in that kind of conflict. But all of a sudden, I was like, I have continual access through Jesus Christ. I can go access what God my Father has accomplished through Jesus. My Father now says I'm justified. So no charge can come against me. So I can go eat 16 jelly donuts every day. And, you know, I did. I decided I'm going to go eat some jelly donuts. And the funny thing is, I would then go and be with God, a little bloated, a little uncomfortable, a little overstimulated by sugar. But there was the Holy Spirit, just as ready to receive me, ready to welcome me, ready to believe, partner with me in experience. And then I began to discover that, well, yeah, you're right. All things are now lawful to me, but not everything is for my good. It's not expedient. I don't want to be under, you know, it's not great for the waistline, 16 jelly donuts. But if that's what I want to do, that won't change who God and me are. Does that make sense? That's huge. See, that's so counterintuitive. Because jelly donuts, I'm using that as an illustration because everybody knows that we could all, you know, sugar is the one thing Christians can't do. We're not allowed to do anything else, but we can all eat sugar, so we're okay with that. But we also understand that sugar can lead us to some problems, but it doesn't change our relationship. But that's what God's done with sin in its entirety. And in its entirety, which is really, that's why forgiveness is so complicated, because it's not a moral issue, it's a control issue now. You're not waiting for someone to measure up to a relationship standard that you need to hold because God wants you to hold it. You're just trying to control something so you don't get hurt again and you won't admit it. So God's turning everything into me becoming like Christ by identifying Christ and me not like Christ. And then saying, hey, well, that's cool. You don't have to now measure up to Christ. Just accept him as the person. Accept his forgiveness. Let his forgiveness touch this situation. Let his love touch your heart where you're frightened and want to control. So this becoming is like, just it gets so big. So when it says, we saw his glory, it was the glory of the only begotten of the Son. And now the world is waiting to see his glory in the midst of the many sons of God. That's you and me. And we're gonna be bringing Christ into the earth in a fashion that's going to be the same level of proclamation of freedom that we have found him to be. And so I think that's why to live in a mansion that in my Father's house is as more, I would be easier for me to identify in an impoverished state, stuck in a place that was, you know, obscurely forced into abject rejection, because I could recognize there's part of me that already knows that, than to go into prayer and spend some time with Jesus every day and say, Lord, I really want to learn to rest inside of your presence. I want to acknowledge your completeness. I want to worship you for what you've accomplished. I want to thank God and venture into who you are now. I want to understand that if you're the high priest standing before the Father and I'm inside of you, then that means I'm in Christ before the Father and we're at the throne of grace. And a confession of hope is the words of God that you've spoken to me that are now being fulfilled in my life, yet not seen, but are becoming. And I can enjoy fellowship with you, and I bring no greater pleasure than to believe what you've said. I believe Father's Son's gift, and I'm saved. I believe what you say, and I'm living by faith. And now I'm in a whole And it's harder than being laid in a manger, but it is the journey of maturity. And every circumstance that every one of us are in is unto that end. The circumstances themselves will not cause us to know Jesus any more than they can stop us from experiencing the glory of God. But if we go after the glory of God, if we go after that embrace, go to verse 13, Rachel. I love this one. Go to verse 17. I'm just guessing right there. For the law was given to Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father has declared him. That was the verse I wanted. It's pretty close. The only begotten Son who was in the bosom of the Father has declared him. The word declare means he spoke out loud about him. John the Beloved, on the night of betrayal and the Passover, is in the bosom of Jesus. And he's the one who has this access. Who is it who's betraying you? It's the one I dip the bread into and give. I want to suggest to you and me this Christmas that we go and get in the bosom of Jesus. The bosom of Jesus. Only through Jesus can you access the Father. Only through Jesus can the Holy Spirit touch you. Only through Jesus can you be accepted and walk in a fulfilled relationship. And because of Jesus, you are accepted. Because of Jesus, you are blessed. Because of Jesus, you have been given a place at the table, a chair reserved. No matter what Christmas feels like, no matter what isn't right on the earth and what isn't working, you have been and I have been given a place in eternity that is forever becoming more and never being diminished. So we can wander away, we can dismiss, we can make bad decisions, we can eat 16 jelly donuts for 3 weeks and bloat ourselves out and mess with our kidneys and throw off our pancreas and all that, but it doesn't change Jesus Christ's acceptance in us. And we can at one moment go, why am I eating 16 donuts every day? And we say, you know, I think it's because it's not, I don't know, why is it? And then we have this fellowship. And then Jesus starts to say, you don't really need to. I mean, I love you. And then love starts to change who we are. And hope starts to come alive. And we start to see it. For many believers, we are still trying to measure up to Christ by our own performance in order to be a Christian, and have not realized that was the entire plan of God, was for Christ to pay for everybody's bad performance so we could all begin on by faith in him and be accepted inside of the Beloved. Now that we're there, there's a whole world to explore. There's a whole experience. This Christmas, we will honor Jesus by accepting his completeness in this incomplete set of life that we're going to find ourselves in. Everything that isn't yet there, whether it was presents unwrapped or not bought, or families that can't get together and want to be together, or families that are together that you wish you weren't being together. The situation is not defining me. And if I can go and find Jesus, and just then, and let him define me. I think I'm closer to Christmas, God's intent, than any time. Because I'm letting him set me in his mansion. And I'm letting him, the Father justifies me. Jesus glorifies me. The Holy Spirit unites me to the truth and makes it a reality. The Father justifies me because I believe what Jesus did was for my justification. Jesus glorifies me because I am allowing the words that you're speaking to keep coming alive in me by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is the one who's causing it to have something of a wonder, something of a delight. And yet it's what prayer is. It's why we go be with Jesus. It's better than a movie. It's better than anything we'll ever have, and yet it is the hardest thing we'll ever do. Tell me I have to get down to San Diego by tonight, because something has forced me to drive that down. That I can do. But tell me I need to spend, be in the, be accepting of Christ as my sufficiency, because that's all, that is the best provision I'll ever have. In the midst of incompleteness, that's a lot harder than driving to San Diego. See, you know, for God to travel in the planet was a bit of a chore, because he had to shrink himself into a man. For us to travel in heaven is a bit of a chore, because we have to rise up inside of Christ. There's no difference other than our, where we're beginning from is what would be a deficit into a better place, where he was believing glory to come into a deficit. But the joy that I just sense the Holy Spirit's hovering over is that the foundation of Jesus Christ, when once established, which means that's where he is our all sufficiency. That when we face something, we realize, well, that proves something about me, but doesn't undo anything about Christ. And my relationship to God is in Christ. So this is a place that God's going to disengage me from, you know, an unprofitable habit. And once you realize sin is an unprofitable habit, then you're free to be free. You're not concentrating on law to get yourself free, because the more you use law to get free, the more sin becomes embedded in you, because you can't do that. And whenever you can't do something, your flesh and your soul just activate, and sin is strengthened. The strength of sin is the law. So all of a sudden, we're just like being set free. As God came into humanity, we're coming into divinity. Not independent divinity. We're not going to be gods. We're just in Christ. And Christ is God. But we're in Christ. We're in fellowship. We're in union. We're accepting his completion. We are seeking the things above where Christ is. It's counterintuitive, but it is the future. Because I plan to ride on a white horse behind him. And I don't even ride horses. But I figure that'll work out. If I can follow his voice and learn his ways, I'll follow him in the great army as we come to reclaim the planet for a 1,000-year reign. See, that's my vision of Christmas, is all the way to the other side. Because if I stay here, I will start doing this little loopy loop. I'll live way below what Christ came to do. You know, just think about this, and I'll close with this silly thought. 2 weeks ago, our president declared Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Everybody got upset, and especially all of the Arab world, the Muslim world. Everybody felt like that was wrong. And so the mayor of Bethlehem decided that he was going to cancel Christmas. The mayor is a Muslim, and he declared, well, that's it, because of what the America's decision, we're just going to cancel Christmas. Then obviously some of the Arab merchants had a little conversation, and that this is not a profitable thing for us if you cancel Christmas. So he decided, okay, we'll keep all of the stores are open, shops and places you can go, but we'll stop. We won't do some of the plays and songs, song fests. See, we can live the rest of our life there. And that looks silly to you and me, because we're in California. We go, you know, you can't close an outlet mall no matter who's in charge, right? It's beyond the president. Okay, but we're still, most of us are, that's the intent of heaven, hell. The intent of natural humanity is to keep pulling us into this level and fighting over this stuff. And it isn't really the issue. The issue is we live in an entire place of resurrected life and victory with a Messiah who is our Christ, who is our Lord, who is our high priest, who is one who we walk with and just explore with and have become transformed, because the more we see his face, the more we enter into his glory, the more we enter his glory, the more transformed. And that's our dream. That's how we're going to bless Jesus this year. We're going to become like him, because we're going to see him as he is. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. We're all tired. Too many jelly donuts. Too many late nights, too many parties, too many places had to be, too many things to have to get done. But it doesn't change one thing, and that is Christ, the resurrected Lord, has made a place for us. And you opened a mansion a prepared dwelling place with God in the Spirit that is ours to occupy, and when we do, it is prophetic fulfillment, just like when you were laid in a manger. Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask, you are Christmas, Jesus. Therefore, whatever we need in Christmas today is in you. If we need peace, there it is in Christ. If we need joy, there you are, our joy. If we need healing, there you are, our healer. If we need deliverance from circumstances that we don't know how we'll pass through or get out of, you're the deliverer. If we need to be brought out of captivity, if sin and jelly donuts have overtaken us, then you are the one who comes and liberates us and frees us. And so you don't need those things anymore. Come walk with me. You are the one who came to save, heal, and deliver, and are the first saved, healed, and delivered man. And now we are in you, and therefore we can receive from you. So what do you need? What miracle would you like Jesus to do for you this Christmas? If you could have one, and you don't have to only have one, but what would you have an experience with Jesus? Healing, deliverance, salvation, experience, love, acceptance, joy. Take a moment, and we're going to ask Jesus to join us to him in that place, or come to us in his fulfillment, to us in our neediness, and let us become one there, and let him fill that area with his glory. When you have when you got an idea, lift up your hands, kind of receiving posture. You have all day, and you can change your mind many times. Again, this is not law. We're just fully immersed in grace. Heavenly Father, Holy Spirit, you see our hearts, you hear. And if you can, with your own words, say something to the effect what you're asking God to do. With your Lord, this is the miracle I'd like. This is the miracle I believe Jesus is sufficient to bring. Jesus is this miracle. Now, Lord Jesus, join us to you here. Come to us in this sufficiency. Well, meet us in this moment with the power that you carry, be the Christmas that we need. Hallelujah. Right now. And transform us from our lowly estate to your elevated place. And shift all things that hinder us from living in that place of elevated faith, even now. Lord, we cannot stand without forgiving, so we pray and forgive all who have offended us, all who hurt us, all who are demanding more of us, all who are taking our life from us, and we release them in Jesus' name. And we say, Lord, give us life. You're the abundant life that we can lay our life down again. In the name of Jesus. Whoa. Come, Holy Spirit. Now, Father, I pray that as we go through our Christmas, that we will be cognitive of our union in Christ, present with Christ, as Christ is present with us, and be able to allow his joy, his peace, his righteousness, his love, his acceptance, his kindness to flow. Not from us, but through us. Not by us, but by you. We thank you for this, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, guys. Merry, merry, merry Christmas.